Senator Johnson, can we get you on the COVID cover-up? So why do you think legacy media such as CNN is not covering this?
Why aren't you covering this?
I want to ask you about Iran, the war in Iran.
Yeah, you really ought to cover the fact that Peter Marks knew on March 1st of 2021 that their algorithms were hiding safety signals. On 26 days later, found out 25 serious adverse events like sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of strokes, and they buried it. They hid it. It's a major scandal. It's even as big a scandal that the major media is completely ignoring the story. It's been out now for almost 6 weeks.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic.
What they thought was going to happen during Biden and Kamala, that they would take out a lot of my generation and older, clear the deck, turned out the bioweapon wasn't fully tunable. And guess what happened?
We took out the wrong demographic.
They took you out. Before COVID begins in 2019, we get this guy from Harvard University arrested at the airport, caught with 21 vials of nanobat technology. His name's Charles Lieber. Two guys from China who worked in Wuhan gets arrested with him. They take the 21 vials away. He's the expert in wideband technology. That was what they were going to use to tune the bioweapon to take us out. They had to redeploy and put that stuff in Ukraine because they had to protect China from stealing this technology. Who wasn't ready? Pfizer. So what does Pfizer decide to do? They go downstairs three floors to their genetic department and they find SV40. They use SV40 to design their jab because they're late to the game. And what do they then do? They tell their scientists to use a molecular tool to take the evidence of SV40 out, and then they present a clean version to the FDA and they get approved.
CDC awarded Pfizer $735 million-plus for infant COVID shots, paying them, and the government tried to say it was mandatory when it wasn't, to then poison babies with it. This is the pure evil, the kind of stuff they've been trying to suppress the public from knowing. Then they also paid the federal government over $2 billion to major pharmacies. Most of it went to CVS and Walgreens to not prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, even though the elites were all taking it, and it was proven to be very effective.
How many thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of people are permanently disabled or possibly lost their life because our FDA hid the fact that there were safety signals screaming at them with the COVID injection?
I gotta tell you, Maha should be in an outrage. This was a massive issue on the campaign. It's still a massive issue. Many parents do not want their children to ever receive a COVID vaccine shot. Why? Kids don't need it.
Good job, MTG. Now, here I am in 2009, 2010, and 2011, exposing UN documents, WF planning, Operation Lockstep, CIA, John Hopkins. People ask how to know about lockdown, 6 feet apart, masking. They admitted it was about training you to be a slave, to be locked in your house. Once cell phones got up to a point they could track and control you, which they had way before COVID, they were going to implement this as the new slave control grid. That's how I knew.
Rockefeller study envisions future dictatorship controlled by elite, millions being killed, mandatory quarantines, checkpoints, the end of the family, everything that's in the other documents. But this dovetails with all the other Rockefeller Foundation documents about the GMO food to sterilize you and the forced vaccines and the hell we're already living in. That's just going to continue to intensify until we take our governments back from these eugenics madmen. These people are so arrogant that they write policy papers, so many of them, that they're producing these policy papers and reports and white papers so fast that you could never read them all. It is an open conspiracy against you and your family. The only chance we've got of beating this scientific dictatorship, this creeping death that takes its time to incrementally enslave you, mentally, psychologically, physically, spiritually, the only way to defeat it is for the rank and file of this planet to realize that you have a choice to make on what your destiny is going to be. Once you face this information, once you've consciously admitted it to yourself, it will take over your life. It should take over your life. Well, I mean, what else?
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in Occupy.
worldwide North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live today on the Alex Jones Network. That's alexjoneslive.com. We're going to get into a lot of news today. Of course, the big story is the socialist sweep. The massive success that the Mamdani-aligned Democrats had in New York and elsewhere, it's shocking. This is shocking and surprising to people for some reason. It shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. This is nothing to be surprised about. It's like, yeah, I mean, over the last couple of decades, we've imported millions upon millions of foreigners, made absolutely no effort to assimilate them whatsoever to American culture, and then you wouldn't believe what happened next. Folks, we imported tens of millions of third worlders, and you will not believe what they started voting for. Are you surprised? Are you really surprised? Well, I hate to break this to you, but especially the Republicans out there, and I'll show you some clips, they are furious that one Democrat won over a different Democrat. I mean, Sean Hannity is practically breaking out in tears while he's live. If you're surprised by this outcome, you're going to be real surprised by the midterms, okay? Because we're going to see exactly the same thing. And we're going to see the same shocked confusion that we see today. It's going to be, we squandered a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-century, once-in-a-millennium political coalition. We swept into office, dominated every branch of the federal government, and then we squandered all of that political capital, waging a new war for Israel, and you wouldn't believe what happened next. And you won't believe what the electoral consequences of that is going to be. If you're surprised by this, what are you doing? What are you paying attention to? What are you reading? What are you looking at? None of this should surprise you at all. I'm not particularly upset by it, personally. Because one of the people that was ousted, one of the mainline Democrats, is, of course, Dan Goldman, who is maybe the worst. I think I'm on record as denoting him, calling him, labeling him actually the worst. No, the sentence ends there. Not the worst in Congress. He's just the worst. So good riddance. Goodbye, Dan Goldman. So long. Farewell. Adieu. Who cares? Well, we should probably care, because it's not just that the Democrat Party is moving further left. It's that all of America rejects the Israeli-controlled political dichotomy that we currently operate under, except, of course, the boomers, the neocons, and the people that run the Republican and the Democratic Party. So this is very, very similar to the exact type of populism that Donald Trump originally represented when he first started running for president. He has, of course, since completely abandoned those principles, lost that edge, and has now been folded into the establishment political realm. Yeah, let's go to this video. This is Sean Hannity literally nearly breaking out in tears over the fact that Dan Goldman, who I remind you is the worst, got booted out of office. Again, I'm not shedding any tears over this, but Sean Hannity almost is. Let's watch.
All right, this is a Fox News alert. Incumbent Congressman Dan Goldman, who was just banned from a New York City coffee shop because of his support for Israel, he has now lost his primary to a radical socialist backed by Mamdani. It appears that, you know, a pretty scary transformation is now fully underway in the Democratic Party, especially in a blue state like New York.
Did you hear that voice crack? It's a little upsetting for old Sean. Mike Johnson as well, Speaker of the House, very upset about this. He's sounding the alarm over what he says is the Democrat Party's radical new direction. The House Speaker pointed to a string of Democrat primary winners and candidates across the country arguing their views on immigration, policing, religion, race, and patriotism are far outside the political mainstream. Not so much anymore. Let's watch.
Across the country, Democrats have candidates winning primaries and rising through the ranks. Here's a few of them. Vang in California, one of the Democrats, she won't say the Pledge of Allegiance. Hamaway in New Jersey, Democrat candidate, socialist candidate, has ties to Al-Qaeda and other terrorists. Chevalier won last night in New York over Hakeem's counter endorsement. She says she wants to abolish the border. She doesn't want a border for the country. Mendoza in Arizona wants to decriminalize trans prostitution. Apparently that's a thing. James in Iowa wants to apologize for being white. Garriott in Iowa performed a Satanist wedding. And Bennett in New Jersey stopped going to church because Trump voters were there.
Wow, that seems like a list of, you know, real despicable scumbags. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about literally any of it? I mean, you can cry about the fact that they're eating your lunch, but what are you going to do about it? Because so far, it seems like what you're going to do about it is continue to do absolutely everything for, once again, the state of Israel, driving people away from you because we don't like Israel and you seem obsessed with it. And by the way, I mean, you should probably focus on the anti-Americanism of it all. Like, even in that, he can't help but be like, these people are bad because they don't like Israel. And it's like, none of us do, sir. None of us do. So again, are you taking this as a bellwether? Are you taking this as a litmus test, as a little bit of a sampling of what is to come in the midterms? Because it's not just the left that feels this way. And once again, when you dismiss genuine concerns from people on the left or the right, or just regular people in their daily lives, you don't convince them that the problems don't exist. When you have video after video after video of young people literally weeping about how they have to live in their car because they can't afford a home, and you tell them you're a socialist, get over it, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, that doesn't work. I don't know what else to tell you. You are the one losing our country for us. Mike Johnson, Sean Hannity, Donald Trump, it's their behavior, it's their action that has taken what was previously a once-in-a-lifetime coalition of people from the left and the right who wanted to break from the establishment dichotomy. And you've squandered it. You've ruined it. You have done absolutely nothing you promised to do. And again, I can't believe they don't know this. I don't believe they don't know this. I can really only interpret this through the lens of, like, it's happening on purpose, because what other outcome could there possibly be? Like, what other conclusion could you possibly come to? When you look at the way in which they perfectly well recognize that their adherence to Israel, the starting of the Iran war, like, they know how unpopular that was. They did it anyway. How could it be anything but on purpose? Again, the headlines are apocalyptic. And maybe they should be. You know, maybe this is the beginning of the end for us. If that's the case, then fault lies entirely at the feet of the Republican Party, which at this point, and for a very long time at this point, has had total control of all three branches of the federal government, has done absolutely nothing with that power, and now is demanding that we vote for them because otherwise the socialist Muslims will take control. Again, your fault. It's all your fault. President Trump issues warning after communists sweep New York congressional primaries, roast former tormentor Dan Goldman in Savage Post. President Trump is not sitting silent after his beloved New York fell hard to communists, backed by Marxist New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani. As the Gateway Pundit reported, three Mamdani-backed Democratic Socialists swept congressional primaries in New York last night. One of the victims was Nepo Baby and incumbent Democrat Representative Dan Goldman. He was trounced after former New York City Comptroller Brad Lander in the race for New York's 10th congressional district. Other wins by communists include State Assemblywoman Claire Valdez, who crushed Brooklyn Borough President Antonio Reynoso, and former campaign manager for Mamdani, Daria Lisa Chevalier. Her last name is Chevalier. While observing the election returns, Trump warned that history shows that only further disaster waits the Empire State. I don't think they care. No, I don't think they care. Like, already the Mamdani mayorship has been largely an abysmal failure, right? He's just made ridiculous choices. He's already running up a massive deficit. It's not going well for them. That never seems to matter, though. That does not matter to the Democrats. I don't know how much more clear they can make it for you, but time and time again, they vote for a claim. That claim never comes to fruition. The opposite happens, and then they keep voting in the same direction over and over and over again. The greatest example would be the California homelessness problem, where people get elected promising to end homelessness. They spend literally tens of billions of dollars in attempting to end homelessness, apparently, and the homelessness population doubles in size. Now, you would think the people who originally voted to end homelessness, when they see that the person they voted for, in fact, doubled the problem that they had, you would think they would then choose a different path. They never do. They never do. And look, you can talk to them till you're red in the face. They don't care. The people that have arrived here in the last 10 years have made no effort to assimilate. They do not love or even really like America. They see this as a conquest. They don't care about the quality of the life of regular Americans. They care about their own power, and that's it. Okay? Like, we need to get this through our heads. We need to recognize that this is the reality, because then maybe, just maybe, we can fight them appropriately. You know, it's kind of like this other tweet that was about this judge. I don't know if I have it anymore. This judge named Sparkle. Her name is Sparkle, and then an unpronounceable Star Wars name. And I saw somebody respond to it in just the perfect way. I don't have it right in front of me, but I think I retweeted it. It's basically like, look, if the Republicans aren't just ruthlessly going after this woman, I mean, it's the woman who came out and basically stopped Trump's version of the SAVE Act being implemented. Said, no, you can't have secure elections. That's not allowed. I believe it was that. But she's been a U.S. citizen for 7 years. She's been a U.S. citizen for 7 years. Okay? Why is anyone in our country allowed to have any position of authority if they, A, weren't born here? Like, that should just immediately, it should just be no. And there's nothing unfair. There's nothing bigoted. There's nothing xenophobic about this. It's ridiculous that this is not the law, and it's ridiculous that anybody would be mad at this being the law. There was a law that said you cannot serve in, you know, the American government if you weren't born in America and are a natural citizen. Anybody who'd be against that would, by definition, be a foreigner that just wants power over us. And it's just like, no, you can't. Anybody that actually wants what's good for America would be perfectly happy to accept that. Oh, I can't, you know, vote or hold office, but my kids will be able to. Great. I'll make that commitment. I'll make that effort. And, you know, within a generation, my kids will be, you know, able to seek office just like anybody else. But like, why are you allowed to? Why are we allowing any immigrants at all to have any position in our government. It does not make any sense. It shouldn't be allowed. That would be the first thing. The second thing would be, I mean, you do that first. I mean, maybe we should, maybe two generations might actually be a better option. But like, these people are socialists. They're avowed socialists. Many of them are avowed communists. When you enter into America, you have to sign pledges. When you become a citizen or take your citizenship exam, you have to swear to have absolutely no involvement with communist institutions or organizations. You have to swear to abandon all of your foreign allegiances. Like, this is the law already. Once again, I'll just say, and with ever decreasing patience, all America needs to do is ruthlessly impose the law, ruthlessly carry out the law, and all of our problems would be solved. And everybody who voted for the people in New York yesterday, they wouldn't be here, or they wouldn't be allowed to vote if the law was actually followed to the letter of the law and with the intention of the original law in mind. Why do we allow this to happen? And once again, I will put it firmly at the feet of the Republican Party, who has, again, infinite courage and capability if they're trying to deport Columbia students who wrote an essay about how they don't like Israel. Suddenly they have the power to just literally kidnap them off the street in a van and they're next seen in Kenya. Okay. When it's something they want to do, when it's a population they actually care about policing, there's no barrier, there's no limitation, there's no hesitation, there's no waffling. They just do it. Why won't they do that for America? Why will they not do that for our own country, our own constitution, our own rule of law? They will not do it when it would be a matter of infinite simplicity. It would not be hard. All of these people, every single person that came into this country, signed their name to the oath that swore that they were not a socialist, did not have any loyalty to a foreign country. They swore that, and their citizenship or their placement in America is contingent on that oath. If they break that oath, expel them from the country without hesitation, you know, without guilt. But they won't do it. What they will do is then whine and complain and blame people like me for criticizing the actions that got us to this point in the first place. It's beyond frustrating. From Axios, socialist earthquake leaves Democrats reeling. House Democrats were left stunned on Tuesday night after two of their colleagues, including the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, lost primaries to left-wing challengers. The New York primary results are poised to double the number of Democratic Socialists of America members in Congress, something that is not sitting well with some moderates. People who do not support the DSA wringing their hands at cocktail parties while DSA is organizing. Representative Tom Suozzi, the co-chair of the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus, told Axios, another centrist House Democrat, speaking on the condition of anonymity to offer candid analysis, called the results an earthquake and a huge defeat for Democratic leadership. It was a tough night, said Representative Greg Meeks, a Democrat of New York, a close ally of the leadership and chair of the Queens County Democratic Party, told Axios. To some extent, there is a struggle between Democrat socialists and Democrats, but not really. But not really. You'll notice they say, well, this was kind of a red flag. This is like troubling. They'll talk about anti-Semitism. They're perfectly happy to bring up that Mamdani is, you know, anti-Zionist or whatever else, and they'll bring that up. The Democrat Party will not criticize the Democrat Socialists of America. They won't actually argue against their positions. They won't actually condemn them for their more radical beliefs. They actually support that. They actually embrace them in a fashion utterly unlike the right wing, which is kind of funny because the right wing of the Republican Party is right, is correct, is like actually trying to desperately appeal for some sort of help for the very real and in some cases existential problems the Native American population faces, whereas the Democrat radicals are actual radical communists that openly espouse the desire to destroy the United States of America. So once again, it's not like, oh, they have their radicals, we have our radicals, they embrace theirs, ours get rejected. That would be if they're both equal. The right-wing so-called radicals, people that, you know, the Republican Party can't dare to have anything to do with, are people like Tucker Carlson or Alex Jones or Nick Fuentes, who just, like, if you listen to their statements, they're just right about what's going on. And they, all of us, just want very simple, common sense, humanitarian solutions to the horrifying problems we're being saddled with. And the Republican Party will spit in our faces and tell us, you know, we don't want your votes like Trump did about the Iran war. Whereas the Democrats are happy to embrace the Democratic Socialists of America, are happy to give cover to their more radical elements. And you see this reflected over and over in the statements that the Democrats made. They're like, oh, this is kind of troubling. I don't like where this is going. And it's like, well, what's wrong about their ideology? What do you actually oppose about socialism? Where's the actual difference you have? As far as I can tell, it's only Israel. It's only Israel. They believe everything the Democratic Socialists believe. There's nothing out of the ordinary if you look at the Democratic Socialists from your average, you know, DEI Democrat. It's very much the same. I guess they're worried about their, you know, power being stolen by this new political faction. See, I, on the other hand, am very concerned. I'm very concerned about the actual reality of socialism, what they actually plan to do and what it looks like once this comes to fruition. But it's not complicated. It's not, you know, we don't need a lot of hand-wringing and scratching our head and, gee, how could this possibly have happened? Not that complicated. It's not that complicated. You brought in millions and millions of people who aren't American, don't like America, don't love America, are here to exploit America. And by the way, a huge, huge, huge number of them are Muslim and hate Israel. And this was a protest vote against Israel, who has for the last several decades routinely flaunted their control of both parties. And the lackluster, half-assed response from the Democrats to what's going on with Gaza and Lebanon is not sufficient to satisfy people that genuinely care about this stuff. It's the same problem that the Republican Party is going to have in the midterms. The difference is the Democrats organize and they embrace their more radical elements and they, you know, aren't crushed by the state at every pass. If you try to start a political movement on the right, you bet your ass you're going to be dismantled by some sort of fraudulent investigation. The Democratic Socialists can openly espouse violent and terroristic rhetoric. Nothing ever happens to them. And so while the Democrat Party stalwarts may be ousted in favor of more socialist elements in the party, they're still going to get a huge amount of votes. The Republicans have been very aggressive and have done a pretty damn good job at keeping absolutely any challengers out of the primary process. So the people that are mad at the, lick spittle slavery that the Republicans express towards Israel, we don't have an alternative right winger to vote for. So while the Democrats will simply move their votes to the more radical elements of their party, right wingers will just not vote for Republicans or will end up voting for Democrats. So Republicans are screwed this midterms. That's what this means.
There are billions of ways for people to be culturally, spiritually, politically, environmentally engaged. And there are millions and millions of different programs and podcasts and radio shows and things around the world out of the 10 million people on this planet. But on the record, what we've done at InfoWars, and this is just the second leg of that at alexjoneslive.com, has changed the world. Our guests, our callers, our researchers, our reporters, and my overall futuristic analysis and view of the destiny of humanity, which I don't claim to be 100% accurate, but it's definitely proven to be a good template to observe the world, has had a giant effect, and the globalists do not like it. So when you share that local AM and FM station that you listen to and tell those you share it with to share it, it changes the world. When you say this is a forbidden information at alexjoneslive.com that has the free audio and video feeds and archives and shows and articles, You are literally going in the face of the censors and the tyrants. You're changing the world. It seems simple. It seems little, but it's not, because we have millions of listeners and viewers. And if we can leverage that out to millions more and have them leverage it out, that creates the chain reaction. And all the great guests and hosts we've had on over the years who are already great, successful, they'll tell you how much more their shows blew up once they were on air here with this operation. We are here to get the next generation, black, white, old, young, to awaken to the epic time that we're all alive in right now and to take action. So your word of mouth is key, your prayer for the broadcast is key, and supporting us financially is so key. And we make it symbiotic, where everything you get at thealexjonesstore.com will empower you, will enrich you, and will be an adventure. The Patriot Apparel, some of the best designs ever, limited edition for the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, are out right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this latest design, these limited edition, America, red, white, and blue on, you know, Sterling Royal Blue, 76, America 76, 250 years. That is a really cool shirt. I think it's going to be a bestseller. It just came out today. And all the other 250th anniversary limited edition shirts are available right now as well at thealexjonesstore.com. So be sure and check those out. And I thank you for your support. But wearing these out in public, meeting like-minded people, spreading the word, it's an adventure in and of itself, and it funds this operation, which is exposing the next pandemic, the next attempted lockdowns, the next big globalist war. You are financing your own future for a better future and better destiny when you keep this broadcast on the air. But you can also experience the InfoWar on the ground wearing these great shirts. Also, we have the new dual carbon platinum gravity-fed filter, the highest quality gravity-fed carbon filters that are the highest rated, cutting out all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horrible forever chemicals that are out there. And it has the highest quality stainless steel. Nobody has got a filter with better filtration. It's the highest rated, and nobody has as beautiful a filter as this. And ours is way under the price of competitors that are crap. This is the best. It's a home run by Bigley, our sponsor. We're so proud of it. Here's the issue. 1,000 of these came in. It sold out in 3 days. They got a couple thousand more coming in like late next week. Those are pre-order right now. They're going to be sold out soon. And then I'm going to stop promoting it until they get even more in, because I don't like doing pre-order. But if you want to be at the head of the line to get these while you still can, and not have to wait a month or so after that, get your order in now, right now, at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're on the site, check out all the other great Patriot apparel, the super high quality military grade belts, all the great supplements and more at thealexjonesstore.com.
The people from the third world, allowed them to vote, made absolutely no effort to assimilate them to American culture, and you won't believe what happened next. You will not believe the type of people these new immigrants voted for. It's crazy. It's almost like the third world isn't a geographic location. It's a people group. It's crazy. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that if you take a country struggling economically, experiencing increasing inequality between the super rich and the ever-growing population of super poor, when the entire, it seems, purpose of our government for the last several decades has been to systematically eliminate the middle class and those they couldn't eliminate, simply replace with foreign workers. It's crazy that somehow people aren't voting for tried and true red, white, and blue Americans. I mean, what? Who would have thought? I don't know what we expected. I don't know what you thought was going to happen. And I'm not sure if the strategy of just saying they're bad is going to work. Again, we've been over this 10 million times on this show and others. Story. Here's just some of the headlines. Mamdani emerges from Tuesday's primary, a big winner. Democrat socialist candidates swept key primary races in New York Tuesday. Mamdani emerges as kingmaker, pushing his slate to a primary sweep. Clean sweep for Mamdani-backed candidates in New York's Democrat primary. Pro-Israel politics just took a huge hit in New York. And here we get to the heart of the issue, what it's actually about. Progressives critical of Israel swept into a trio of House races in the home of the nation's largest Jewish population, a stunning shift that carries national implications for the party. Donald Trump just made an interesting statement about this. This just broke minutes ago. Here's Donald Trump on the victory of the Mamdani-supported slate of candidates in New York.
They swept and knocked out two incumbents. You're from New York. Why do you think it is that now the endorsement of Zohran Mamdani means more than the endorsement of Hakeem Jeffries?
Well, they're going radical left. They're going really, you know, you talk about the Democrat socialists. You took really, it's really communist. That's these people. I watched that woman last night. That's not a socialist. I know socialists. That's a, that woman is a communist. And you know what they don't say is that I was 16-0 last night, but mine were a little more boring, a little more mainstream. They were Republican conservatives, but we were 16-0. And if you look over the last 2.5 years, we're about 347 and just about 0. That's pretty good. But nobody writes that. But he picked three. They won. They beat a guy named Dan Goldman, who's, you know, a loser. He was one of my prosecutors, one of my many prosecutors that they used on me. Dan Goldman, not a good prosecutor, fortunately, but he's now looking for a job. I was very surprised to see, you know, because he's a pretty liberal guy. When they go more liberal than Dan Goldman, they're really into Never Never Land.
Does this tell you that the Democratic Party's 2028 nominee will likely be or could likely be a Democratic socialist?
Well, it should make it easier for Republicans because most of the nation is composed of sane people. They don't want to... You know, if you look throughout history, go back thousands of years... You've always had socialism and communism by different names. It's never, ever worked. It's not going to work this time either. Okay.
All right. So that's President Trump there talking about and absolutely telling the truth that the so-called Democratic Socialists of America are just obvious and in some cases avowed communists. Like they're really not even that shy about it, which, again, any immigrant, literally any naturalized immigrant, anybody who's become a citizen and in any way has struck with the Communist Party, I think it's within 5 years of their citizenship, they should be out. They should be deported. This is kind of the thing that you should have been doing the entire time, Trump. It's kind of too late to start this process right now. This is what you should have hit the ground running doing. That's what we voted for. That's what we begged you to do. You didn't do that. So what did you expect to happen? He says he thinks it's a good sign for the Republican Party. He obviously has no idea what drove people to vote for the socialist candidate. I don't actually believe that people like genuinely believe in socialism. It's very simple. Their lives are not going well. They're not happy with the way that the economy works or anything like that, as many people are, as you should be, right? People shouldn't be happy with the economy. It's not working. Things are getting worse. It's not hard to explain. It's actually very easy to understand and easy to fix if you cared about fixing it. You aren't fixing it. You aren't doing anything to fix it. So it's not complicated. These people look around and they go, what the hell's going on? I can barely afford to, you know, have a roof over my head, and my government is spending billions and billions and billions of dollars helping Israel carry out a genocide that, of course, we've been morally outraged about for 2 years and more. They look around at the establishment candidates, and on one hand, you have the likes of Dan Goldman, who will, you know, preach all of the anti-Trump nonsense. He'll, you know, toe the line of the Democratic Party. But it's pretty obvious that there's no real, you know, plan there. It's just more of the same, Republican or Democrat. we all recognize is just a costume at this point. Nothing fundamentally different about it. So they look around and they go, man, we really need a big change. We can't just have the same thing over and over again. And they look around at the potential political parties, political organizations vying for their vote, and there's only one faction that is sitting there going, hey, you're right. Things are messed up and we need radical change, and we're the ones to bring you that radical change. Hey, this whole keep voting for the same party and over and over again and just cross your fingers and hope that this time they actually do something for you, that's not happening anymore. You vote with for us, and we'll, you know, those billionaires you're so jealous of, we'll take their money and we'll give it to you. You'll be rich, they'll be poor, you'll be in charge, they'll be discredited. Now, that's obviously a lie. As Trump points out, this never actually works. It has never worked. It can never work. It is fundamentally at odds with human nature. But people don't know that. They don't care. They either don't know the history or think it's going to be different this time. It doesn't matter. The point is, there's only one faction that's saying you're right to be angry and we're going to solve it. We have the answers. We have the solutions. Vote for us. We'll remake this society in a way that works for you. Now, they may be selling a lie, but if you're a desperate person, if you're a person who, you know, feels as though you're being screwed by the system, are you going to go with the person saying that? Or are you going to go with the person saying, actually, this is your fault. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Actually, if you don't vote for us, it'll be your fault that the country's going down. We just need power one more time. I know you gave us all the power in the world last time, because again, what I'm describing here is literally the exact same mindset from the right or the left. What I just explained is happening on both sides of the aisle. Both sides are going, we are not voting for the establishment anymore, and we will vote for anybody else who suggests an alternative solution. And the only people offering an alternative solution are the communists and socialists. So who do you think they're going to go for? They're going to go for that one faction that at least pretends to care about them and at least pretends to have a solution to their problem. The problem is you have to argue against it, but not just by saying your idea is bad. Look at the way it's led to disaster all over the world. You also have to come up with a better solution. You also have to say, hey, poor person, economically disadvantaged person, whoever it is that's unhappy with the establishment order as it stands now, here's the reason things have gone wrong. Here's the plan we have to get them back on track. None of that has been done. Again, the Republicans have had total, absolute control of every branch of the federal government. We cannot pass the SAVE Act to save our life. We cannot get anything done for us. The deportations aren't happening. And by the way, it's so simple. I'm just like trying to figure out a better way to say this because I've said it so many times, because so many people have said it so many times, because it's so obvious to everybody that's not a part of our leadership class. And maybe that's the issue here. Who is our leadership class? What is their design? Who is directing them? Why do they do the things that they do or believe the things that they believe? Because I can't be the only one that notices. And it's not just the social circles I run in. I guarantee you, you go around and ask 100 Americans what their biggest priority is, I don't think you'd get a single one talking about anything that the government is doing right now. What is motivating them? What are they doing? Like, how are they the only ones that can't figure this out? That's what I mean. It's got to be on purpose, right? If I were to go down in the street now and just ask people, why do you think the democratic socialism of America swept? I think anybody who's paying attention, I think 90% of people would say the who did what? What elections? There were elections yesterday? I mean, people just have no idea. I bet they can tell you about the reflecting pond. Oh, I bet they know all about the drama with the algae at the reflection pool outside the Lincoln Memorial. I'm sure they're all up to date on that, because that's what the media has been spoon feeding them for the last several weeks. They probably have no idea there was an election. But I bet they wouldn't even have to know. If I just said, well, just guess. Why do you think the Democratic Socialists of America would win out over more traditional Democrats? I bet 99% of people would go Israel. It goes probably about Israel. The Democratic Socialists are anti-Israel, and the Dan Goldmans of the Democratic Party are strongly firmly pro-Israel. It's not even really about socialism and communism at this point for these people, but they don't really, you know, the people voting, they don't really care. We're just sick of having Israel control everything. It's obvious. I don't know how much more obvious it could possibly be. Here's a clip that may explain both aspects of this phenomenon, the drive towards socialism. Again, I'm just sort of rambling, like, but structurally, it's very simple. People are voting for the Democratic Socialists of America for the exact same reason people voted for Trump, because they want something to shatter the establishment. They want a change. They are sick of getting the same policies from both sides of the aisle forever. Ironically, the Democratic Socialists of America actually seem to be able to deliver on the promise. Like, they actually will go in. They actually will abolish the Electoral College. They actually will give citizenship to everybody that crossed over the border. They actually will do all of these things. See, Donald Trump got elected on the basis of being the establishment breaker, and then he became the establishment entirely. Let's go now to clip number 6. Daria Lisa Avila Chevalier says she converted to Islam because of social justice. Let's watch.
I know that we all deserve a representative who isn't bought by AIPAC. I'm also the only Muslim in my family. I reverted 3 years ago. Actually, the friend who pushed me to do it asked me, why have you fasted for 4 years and yet you haven't taken your shahada? She's here today. And when she asked me that, I thought, that is a great question. And I thought for myself why I hadn't taken the step yet. But it was seeing how all of my friends who were showing up to organizing, who are Muslim, were showing up in the space, and the grace and love and passion that they had in these spaces of social justice that really pushed me to join the faith. And wanting to make sure that we are reflecting that in every space that I'm in, and that, you know, inshallah, if we make it to Congress, that we're reflecting that in the halls of power as well.
Social, you know, if there's one thing Muslims are known for, it's social justice. Like when they cut your hand off for stealing, when they, cane women in public for having an affair. You understand the Muslim position of so-called social justice in America is because it's not a Muslim country and they're trying to weaken the current ruling power structure so they can replace it, and then sweep in all of the utterly illiberal laws and beliefs that they actually hold. Do you not understand this? It could not be more obvious. Social justice from the Muslims. Okay. Can you show your hair to us? Here's a question about your beloved new religion. Would you mind taking off the shawl, the scarf they force you to wear over your head? Or will you be beaten for that? So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And this is kind of the frustrating thing, is that's how bad of a job Republicans have done of actually selling liberalism and freedom and the things that America actually represents and does fairly well when it cares to. These people are motivated by ostensibly good things. I mean, she believes they're good. I don't necessarily disagree with him. It's one of the reasons why our culture is superior to the Muslim culture. And yet somehow, people whose primary belief is in freedom of association, freedom of whatever, homosexual acceptance, like all this stuff, they gravitate towards the Muslims, who are diametrically opposed to all of that stuff. But it's because we've done such a bad job of explaining what these liberties actually require. where they actually come from, how we actually uphold them. So look, I don't know what else to tell you. It's like, what should we be doing here? What should we be doing here? To me, it's not really all that complicated. What we should be doing here is unapologetically fighting for our way of life, for our people, for our country and our laws and our standards and our morality. Instead, we get a bunch of Republicans that endlessly serve Israel, that do absolutely nothing to fight for us in any way at all, and then who simply insult the people who are drifting away from them and call them either anti-Semitic or socialist idiots. This is on you. This is entirely on you. And in a lot of ways, like, I don't know. I can't be mad at the socialists. Like, I'm not mad at the rabid dog for biting a kid. I'm mad at the owner of the daycare that let the dog in. And you're the owner of the daycare. You've let the dog in. You've done nothing to stop it. Of course, a bunch of hostile foreigners are going to come to this country and try to take advantage of us. I don't even necessarily blame them for that. They don't know any better. It's up to us to protect our country. It's up to us to stop them from doing that and not falling for their lies or their scams or their words. Look at their actions, or just take an unfavorable, uncharitable understanding of their beliefs. Because Donald Trump is right. These people are communists. Now, weirdly, we're like stuck in this stupid paradigm where it's like they will be communists, they will espouse communist ideas, they will wave communist flags. And you go, are you a communist? And they go, no. And you go, oh, darn it, they're not communist. Well, tell you what, you can just say they are, and you can make them prove that they're not, because these are guests in our country. Zoran Mamdani became a citizen like 10 years ago. He grew up most of his life a non-citizen. He has no, like, we owe him nothing at all. So the fact that he is involved with communist institutions or crypto-communist institutions, you can expel him from the country because of that. That's on the books. That's the law. But they won't do it. So it's their fault. This is the Republicans' fault. These people are not going to expel themselves, obviously. Mamdani endorsed Abar Quaz, won the Democrat primary tonight for a state Senate seat in New York. Here she is saying that 9/11 was America's fault because of a system of capitalism, racism, white supremacy, and Islamophobia. You guys, we have that video. So I want to go to that. We had a lot of videos to go to today, including ADL CEO Jonathan Greenblatt saying the election results in New York City are anti-Semitic and will lead to more Jewish people being kicked out of coffee shops. Oh, dear. Whatever will we do? Yeah, I guess, gee, what would I do if I was Jonathan Greenblatt? If my overriding and overwhelming concern was the well-being of the Jewish people in New York and elsewhere, and I saw that they were being confronted by this danger, the rising threat of Muslim extremists taking power, what would I do? Whatever would I do? I think maybe what I would do would be supporting Republicans. I think maybe what I would do would be stop supporting everybody who hates America and is tearing it down. I would focus a little bit more, just like a touch more, on supporting the American people rather than the foreign state of Israel. I would stop trying to destroy the liberties of American people on the basis that they don't support Israel. I would actually do something in some tangible way to benefit the American people, just in some way, in some vague way. But instead, they're just going to basically call you evil for not going along with them. Whole thing's ridiculous. Here is that Star Wars lady. I don't know. She's like a Hutt or something. Let's watch.
And so, like, and finding that, like, you know, the system of capitalism and racism and white supremacy, et cetera, have all, and Islamophobia have all been used, to colonize lands, right, to take resources from other people. And so
such a sophisticated understanding. Let's pause it. I don't even care that she's Muslim. I don't even care that she's socialist. Why are people elected to office when they sound like third-rate Twitch hosts? It's that voice. There's something about that voice. I swear. It's like they're all made in a factory or something. Because they kind of are. Because this is what our university system teaches. Like verbatim. I mean, she might as well be reciting course names at Yale. Anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, racism. This is what is being pumped out of our highest institutions because for decades we've allowed the subversion there to firmly take hold. And now generation upon generation of students coming out of those schools firmly, genuinely believe the crap this dumbass is saying and are voting on that basis. Maybe that would be something we would concern ourselves with. Do we need to say that it's anti-Israeli? Because I don't think she mentioned Judaism there. I don't think she mentioned Israel there. That's just pure, unadulterated, refined hatred of America and of white people overall. That's the danger here. That's what's being taught. That's the mindset that's poisoning our politics. And the Republicans have a deadly allergy to ever doing anything about that problem. They won't do it. Because they're scared being called white supremacist and racist. It's a feedback loop that's only going to get worse until Republicans decide to actually stand up for the American people, the majority of which, for now, are white Christian people. Until they get over their fear of supporting their actual constituents and they actually do something for their constituents and they actually improve our lives and they actually deport all of these scumbags and they actually impose the law, then this is what's going to happen. And the Republicans are the only ones to blame. They're the only ones to blame. Again, Trump thinks this is a good thing for Republicans. Nobody else in the world thinks that, as far as I'm concerned. Are we celebrating this? Are Republicans going around saying, yeah, Democrat Socialists of America, let's vote for them? That's what you would do if you really thought the Democratic Socialists of America were such anathema that nobody would vote for them. They'd vote for Republicans instead. It's not going to happen. It's all about Israel. All of this is about Israel.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.